Hello, everybody. Welcome to the TriStar Gym channel. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about Francis Ngannou versus Cyril Gane, upcoming mega fight this weekend. I am looking super, super forward to this. I am super excited about this fight. I can't tell you guys how it's been a long time since I'm excited about a fight like this. And like usual, I want to give you guys my break on the fight, and then I want to open it up to your comments and questions. I want to hear what you guys have to think. I want to break this down together. I want to hear what the world out there thinks about this fight. My initial breakdown, guys, I'm going to tell you straight up. I'm picking Ngannou. But I'm doing this very reluctantly. This is going to be an extremely, extremely hard fight to call. Here's why. I think Ngannou is going to win. I'm giving it 51-49 in favor of Ngannou. Ngannou is going to win by knockout, in my opinion. He doesn't win any other way. I don't think he wins by decision. I don't think he wins by submission, even though he has a submission in the UFC. People forget that. I don't think he wins any other way. There's only one way, and that's by knockout. Now, if you look at Cyril Gane, Cyril Gane's got it all. He's got incredible striking technique, maybe even better than Ngannou. He's a more versatile striker, better kicks, better knees, throws elbows, very, very good hands. Very, very good jab, similar to Ngannou. But he also has the knees, the kicks, the elbows. Much better kicker than Ngannou. He's got the takedowns over Ngannou. He's got the jiu-jitsu. I would say his jiu-jitsu is better than Ngannou's. He has a footlock submission win. He has a leg lock submission win in UFC. A maneuver that many of you know is very advanced. Okay? How many fighters out there have leg lock submissions in UFC? Very few. Cyril Gane is one of them. And I'll tell you something, a submission hold on, a leg lock submission on Ngannou is, in my opinion, a very smart strategy to employ. Very smart. If I was fighting Ngannou, if I was Cyril Gane, I would eventually look to take it to the floor and I would jump on that heel and I would rip that heel off. And there's no way Ngannou knows how to defend a heel hook. I would guarantee it. Now, Cyril's got better agility. His movement per second is superior to that of Ngannou. He moves at a higher rate. His work, his ability to work in the octagon is greater than Ngannou's. His agility, his footwork, his head movement, his variety of strikes is superior. His technique on the ground is superior. His wrestling technique is superior. All of this, and still I'm giving it to Ngannou. Why am I giving it to Mr. Ngannou? Because Ngannou, Francis Ngannou, in my opinion, has better power. Of course, we all know that. But also timing. His timing will be superior to that of Cyril Gane. And that timing is going to negate all the other things Cyril Gane brings to the table. And I'll tell you why it's going to do that. Because there's one thing that Cyril Gane is not bringing to the table, in my opinion. He's not bringing to the table a superior strategy. If he had a superior strategy, which I don't think he will have, I think he could win this fight. I think he could win this fight, definitely. However, I don't think he has superior strategy. So in my book, the way I'm calling it, Cyril's chances are good to win. They are good. It wouldn't shock me if Cyril Gane wins this fight. How would he win it? By decision. By decision or taking Ngannou down to the ground, roughing him up, fatiguing him, even TKOing him. Possibly even knocking him out. Absolutely, it's possible. But more of a TKO type finish or even submission. However, I hold that to be less likely. His likeliest chance to win is a decision. Now, I say that because I find that Ngannou is going to be too hard to finish. He's too strong. He's too athletic. He knows enough to get out of the submissions. If I was trying to submit Ngannou, it would definitely be footlock. And I've talked about it in the past, but I'm not going to go over it now. Rear naked choke, of course, is always possible. Arm bars are possible, just not as easy, not as likely. Ngannou has superior timing and power. His ability to hit with power. Like, they measured him on the power cube. For those of you who don't know, the power cube, it measures your ability to hit, to create force with your punch. A sledgehammer, when you hit the power cube with a sledgehammer, it's about 100,000 units. Listen carefully now. Hitting the power cube with a sledgehammer is about 100,000 units. When I hit the power cube, I scored about 60,000 units, which is a very good score, 60,000. A sledgehammer is 100,000, so that's way higher. Okay, 40,000 is a massive difference. Ngannou hits at 129,000 units. Listen again. A sledgehammer is 100,000 units. Ngannou hits at 129,000 units. Mind-boggling. The mind boggles. Now, I'll tell you something else. Not only does he hit harder than a sledgehammer, he has the world record. People from all over the world hit that power cube in all places in the world. Ngannou has the world record. That means he hits harder than professional boxers. Now, I remember I worked once with Stuart McGill. Stuart McGill, he was going around training, measuring athletes' power. And he came to measure George St. Pierre's power. He came to measure different fighters. And I asked him, who's the hardest puncher you've ever measured? And he said to me, this is before Ngannou's time, he said to me, Lennox Lewis. I wasn't surprised. I would say of among the fighters alive today, Tyson wasn't measured. I would probably guess Lennox Lewis would be among the top five. And guess what? He said it was Lennox Lewis. Well, guess what? When you have that level of power, you're built to box. Now, Ngannou just doesn't have power. He has also great timing, composure, patience, accuracy. He's very intelligent in his shot selection. Do you guys remember the Overeem knockout? Of course you do. Anybody who watches MMA remembers that knockout. It was such a incredibly well-timed left uppercut. Or what about the Cain Velasquez uppercut? Ngannou scored a short uppercut. He threw a punch that traveled just a few inches and buckled the legs of Cain Velasquez. Now, I know Cain Velasquez injured his knee at that time, but I think it had a lot to do with the punch. And of course, Cain Velasquez, he had probably had a bad knee before. Nonetheless, it was a very short distance. And Francis Ngannou was able to generate a tremendous amount of power. Now, I say that because he's done it so many times. Okay, it wasn't just a lucky shot on Cain Velasquez. He's done it time and time again when he knocked out Arlovski. It was a shot that puts people lights out. It's not that he's wobbling his opponents. It's not that he's stunning them. He's knocking them out cold. We all remember the Miocic knockout. He's knocking guys out cold. The way that they're reacting shows that this man is hitting them with a hammer. I think his timing, his team, Dewey Cooper, Eric Nixick, they know what they're doing. They're professionals. By the way, guys, shout out to the Team Couture, the Randy Couture gym. Thank you for allowing us last week. I was actually in Vegas training. And let me tell you something. The gyms are open. Everybody's training. A little message to you all. Everybody is training. We're all training, okay? And it was a pleasure to be in Vegas. It was a great, great pleasure to be in Las Vegas. And, you know, I didn't wear a mask pretty much the whole time. We were free to train. No bodies were dropping. You know, we're all healthy and fine and happy. Now I'm back in Montreal, headed back to Vegas shortly, of course, for more training camp. However, while I was in Vegas, I did also bump into Francis Ngannou. It was amazing because I was surprised to see that, you know, he knew who I was. He came to say hello to me. We chit-chatted. He speaks French. I speak French. And I'm telling you, he's a towering figure, man. He's an incredible specimen. Like, this guy could have played NFL. Like, obviously, needless to say. But Francis Ngannou could have been in the NFL. Like, I mean, he's such a powerhouse. He's such an explosive, incredible physique, you know, just incredible. Like, his athleticism is just, like, when you stand next to him, you see, like, he's somebody special. And with that said, you know, I'm not trying to say that Cyril cannot win. There's a path to victory for him. There is, definitely. He's incredible at his movement. He's very good at leg kicking. I think if he can find the home for those leg kicks without getting his head ripped off, he could win. Because that's the one thing you could take away from a good puncher. Is if you chop his legs one too many times, they're not good punchers no more. They're not very strong. However, you're taking the risk of getting injured by one of his punches as you're kicking his leg. So this is the classic dilemma between kicker versus puncher. And Cyril Gane, I think if he boxes with Francis Ngannou, he's going to get knocked out. However, if he goes after the legs and wrestles and chops the leg and takes his time and drags it out later rounds, he can beat an Ngannou. This fight reminds me a lot of a Muhammad Ali versus George Foreman. Francis Ngannou being George Foreman. And for those of you who don't know, Ali beat Foreman in one of the greatest boxing matches of all time. However, in the words of Muhammad Ali, he almost died in the ring. Muhammad Ali said, "I thought I was going to die." Like, that's the famous night where the rope and dope strategy was successfully executed. Muhammad Ali took a beating for about 9 rounds till he turned it around on a dime in the 10th round and knocked out George Foreman. Now, George Foreman at that time seemed unbeatable. He was like the Ngannou of his day. He was dropping guys with one punch, knocked out Smoking Joe Frazier, went on a tear, was the scariest puncher in the game. He fights Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, extremely agile, lots of movement, very similar to Cyril Gane. Cyril Gane's that type of heavyweight. He moves a lot. For a heavyweight, he does move a lot. However, like I said earlier, Ali had a superior strategy. He had a out-of-the-box type strategy that worked. If he fought Foreman head-on, he would have lost. In my opinion, I think he would have lost. I think he would admit to that. I don't think Cyril Gane has that once-in-a-lifetime genius type strategy for this fight. I don't think he's about to make a genius move. I think he's going to fight the way he normally fights, and that's going to cost him. Okay, guys, with that said, let's open up to your comments and questions. Guys, I'm only taking comments and questions on the fight. We are still covering the fight on Cyril Gane. After the Cyril Gane and Ngannou fight, I will open it up to anything you guys want. We could talk about absolutely anything. However, please, let's keep this on the fight. Okay, let's see here. When he KO'd Stipe to short left hook. That's right. That's from Mo Fayaz. Fayaz, it was a short left hook. And do you remember how the way he went down? It was just like, it was like a gunshot went off. It was really impressive. And Ngannou's power is shocking. It's shocking. It really is. Snow Satching punches. That's from Sun. You're right. I mean, when he hits guys, they go into another dimension. It's not even that he's hurting them. It's just like they're gone. They're lights out. It's a light switch. Incredibly impressive. Who else can punch like that in the division? There's nobody else. This is very, it's a very difficult thing to go up against because one mistake and it's lights out. Will Francis succeed in boxing if he switches? That's from Christopher Garcia. Yes, I think he will be very successful. Now, boxing is a very different game because you got 36 minutes. Okay, but if they build him correctly, they can convert his cardio and style into a 36-minute fight. It's doable. It is doable. However, if he goes up against Tyson Fury first fight and all that, I think he'll get hurt. Who do you want to win? That's from Flim Flon. Well, I'll be honest with you. Look, I met Francis, and I know his coaches very well, so I'm on team Ngannou. Okay, I'm on team. Full disclosure, guys. I'm on team Ngannou. I'm giving this a 51-49 fight. This is a very difficult fight to call. It's going to come down to Cyril taking it later rounds, but I doubt it. I think there's a knockout within the first three. The Overeem uppercut was frightening. Son, you are correct. When he knocked out Overeem, guys, Overeem won a world title in Pride. He won a world title in UFC. He won in, did he win the world title in K1? I can't remember. I think he also won a K1 world title. The man is a, drugs or no drugs. I know he got tested positive for drugs in his career. Okay, no surprise. No surprise, granted. He's still one of the most dangerous human beings to ever lace up the gloves, to ever get in there. And look what happened to him when he fought Ngannou. Look what happened to him. He got completely crushed. Crushed. Now, Gane doesn't have the accolades of Overeem. And I know it's not that simple. Overeem was in a different place in his career. And Gane right now is at the top of his game. It makes a difference. Absolutely. Fighters go through peaks and valleys in their career. And Cyril Gane's on the top of his game. Cyril Gane is on the top of his game. Can he win it? Yes, it's possible. Does he win it? I don't think so. (Clears throat) Do you think all of the out of the ring problems could be detrimental for Francis? That's from Alex McDonald. Yes, I do. You know, when you're fighting, you shouldn't be worrying or talking about money or details or contracts. I think that's your management should do that. All you should say is, look, I'm fighting this guy on this date, and this is what I plan to do. I like that in a fighter who just doesn't lose focus. I've seen guys lose focus in fights and lose fights that they should win. Lose fights because they're too worried about this and that and the other thing, and they weren't focused on what they were doing. And I don't think that's I don't know if that's happening to Francis. I'm not in his personal life. I don't know. But personally, I like the fighters to think about fighting. Do very little talking about business. After the fight is done, let's talk business. I told you how I felt. You ignored it. And here we are. I couldn't talk about it before because I was fighting. And take it from there. Okay? That's how I think it should be handled. Will Gane try to take down Ngannou? Yes, that's from Red. Red, I think Francis has very good takedown defense. We saw him against Miocic. Miocic tried to take him down. He shot a high crotch, got stuffed. It backfired on him. Ngannou sprawled him out. He went to a chest lock, sprawled him out, broke the legs free. Kind of went to a turtle attack, kind of slash gut wrench on Miocic, started punching Miocic. It was bad news for Miocic. It was bad news. Now, Cyril Gane, he's been successful with some wrestling, but I don't think he's going to... Look, I don't want to say he can't take down Ngannou. He could. It's possible. It's just not easy. It's a really tough mission. Very tough mission. I don't think Cyril Gane is a chain wrestler. I think he's good at wrestling. I don't think he's great at wrestling. And you'd have to be great to convince me that you're going to take him down reliably. Like, he could get a takedown. Is it going to be reliable? I don't think so. But it can happen. Absolutely. There's no doubt. You underestimating Gane. That's from Dragon of Chaos. Dude, I'm giving it a 51-49. Am I underestimating him? I mean, I praised him for a good 5 minutes. I told you guys he has superior footwork, agility, better striking selection, better striking versatility. He's a lot better with knees and elbows and kicks than Ngannou. Ngannou's more simple in his striking, more basic. Definitely, I'll give the footwork and movement edge to Gane. I gave so many edges. I'm just telling you guys that I think that even all that superior skill still doesn't outdo the timing and precision and power of Ngannou. And Ngannou is fighting in a way that makes sense for his attributes. I don't think that Gane will come with a unique strategy to beat Ngannou, and that's the issue. That's why he's going to lose. He doesn't have the unique strategy needed to beat an Ngannou. Francis's wrestling has improved. That's very true. The first fight with Miocic, he was getting taken down. His reactions weren't, they weren't crisp. The second time around, he was more than ready. More than ready, and he showed how strong he is. He was just crushing Miocic's wrestling. Cyril Gane, guys, forgive my apologize. Okay, I'm from Quebec. We speak French. We have different dialects, different ways to pronounce it. Potato, potato, forgive me. Don't make a big deal out of it. Nobody really cares if I say Gane or Gan. A lot of you guys are getting, like, it's just really, let's make it irrelevant here. Anything can happen in a fight, coach. That's right, B. That's very true. Believe me, nobody knows that better than me. But I'll tell you something. I like the chances for Ngannou. I think Ngannou is going to knock him out. He's going to knock Cyril Gane out in 3 rounds. It's going to take about 3 rounds. Now, if it goes after 3 rounds, I'm starting to like Cyril's chances. And Cyril's a smart guy. I think he can do it. I think it's possible for him. I have to make a choice. And if I have to pick, I'm going to pick Ngannou. Coach, do you think culture can translate into the octagon, specifically African Cameroonian culture of Ngannou versus French colonial mentality of Gane? Jad, what a question, man. Wow. Are the Africans going to defeat their colonial masters? I mean, I don't think this is going to have anything to do with it, to be honest with you. No, not really. Of course, everything has a hand in our lives and results and our behaviors, but this is going to come down to their martial arts skills. I think Wilder would score higher on the power cube. What do you think about their different punching mechanics? Wilder seems to have more whip and snap. That's from Emilio XZ. I would love to see Wilder hit the power cube. Listen, I would pay money to see the top fighters, athletes hitting the power cube. Let me know who hits harder. Like, I'm dying. You know, one time I did that in the gym. I brought this device that measures punching power. I almost bought a cube, but it was so expensive. And I'm like, look, there's these devices that say they do the same thing. And you just kind of put them on top of the punching bag. And, you know, so many guys in the gym have different theories, different coaches, how to hit. And there's all these philosophies. You put me 10 boxing coaches, 10 Muay Thai coaches, 10 kickboxers, put them all in one room together. None of them agree. Everybody has their own way they think is so brilliant. Let me bring this device. Let's measure, guys. It's unscientific to just sit there and talk. And you're like, let's measure. I'll tell you a hilarious story, guys. Please. And I'm not deviating from the topic. This is a very important topic. Very important. Punching power is such an important topic. So I have middleweights, welterweights, professional fighters, lightweights. I'm not going to name names. And including me and coaches, professional coaches. We're all taking turns hitting it. Now listen, this is incredible results. Now at one point, I was in first place. I was even hitting harder than the 185ers. I have my own philosophy on how to hit. Other coaches with their philosophies were hitting really high, but not as high, maybe. And then, you know, a featherweight would hit harder than a middleweight. It wasn't making sense. It wasn't making sense, but the numbers were consistent. Okay, so let's say you were hitting, I don't know, 75. It would happen 75, 75, 80, 65. Like, it wasn't. Then I would take another guy in your weight, and he would hit 40. He was a lot lower. And it was very consistent with their fight records, their knockout records. It was very consistent. All right. So the guys who had more knockouts in their career, they had higher numbers. Like, I'm telling you, I'm paying close attention to this. Like, I want to know, is this thing a gimmick? No, I found it to be very consistent with the real world data we have. Now, one of our fighters comes in, who's an amateur fighter who always misses training. He's lazy. We're always on him for missing practice. He doesn't take his training very seriously. He walks in. Now, remember, at that time, I had hit the hardest. Not even a fighter, the trainer. This student of mine that comes in who doesn't train, he trains once at a blue moon. He was training seriously for like a year or two. Then he kind of comes in once a month, once every 2 weeks. Like, he's just inconsistent. He comes in and he shatters the records. Boom. The kid, he has really natural punching power. I always knew that about him. Okay, he has a good stiff punching. Not a disciplined martial artist that cultivated those skills. However, he had raw power. He has raw power. And he came in here and he beat everybody's score. And everybody was like, oh my God, like, maybe training makes you weaker. You know, we're all like freaking out. But obviously, it wasn't the case. That guy has a natural ability to hit hard. He's gifted. And we could talk about what generates power. It's very genetic. We know, you know, in sports science, we know what generates power. There's a lot of research on what generates power. Mike Tyson hits as hard as he does, not only because of his technique. The technique amplifies his existing power, but it has a lot to do with his genetic makeup. People don't know this. People think, oh, you can hit as hard as Mike Tyson if you had the exact same mechanics. Wrong. Completely wrong. You can't run as fast as Usain Bolt if you have Usain Bolt's running mechanics. Okay, so it's not the case of mechanics. So Ngannou is extremely gifted. So is Wilder. Okay, as you know, Wilder, I think he was 27 when he turned pro. How come he beat guys who were training 20 years longer than him? He's talented. He's talented. I would love to see if Wilder can generate more power than Ngannou. It would be amazing to see. However, I don't know. I think Ngannou might have more power, man. Ngannou is very special. He's very, very special. Of course, so is Wilder, but not as special as Ngannou. I think Ngannou is unique, man, even higher than Wilder. Again, that would remain to be seen. We'd have to see them go up on the power cube and demonstrate. I think Gaethje would surprise us. We know he hits all truck, but hits like a truck, but I feel he would be top five UFC for power cube. That's for Muhammad Ayadi. I would also choose Gaethje to score very high. In the lightweight division, I would imagine he scores among the higher fighters. Absolutely. Absolutely. I see Francis whooping him whichever way he wants. That's from Sinatra. No, I don't agree. Not whichever way he wants. There's one way for Francis to win. One way. Land the right hand, land the uppercut, land the hook. Okay, it's all punches. He's not going to win by kicks, knees, elbows. Very unlikely. Nothing is impossible, guys. It's never impossible. Okay. Don't tell me, you know, if Ngannou knocks him down on the mat, then jumps in with an elbow, he won by elbow. No, it was a knockdown. It was the punch that knocked him down that set up the elbow. You know, he could have hammer fisted him and finished him. He could have, you know, did an armbar and finished him at that point. Like, the guy's so cooked. The fight is going to be set up or won by his punching ability. And his punching ability is incredible. And his distance control is incredible. And his shot selection is incredible. These things are very difficult to get across. And I think Gane has so much potential, but he's not there yet to beat a gifted athlete that's so well trained. Est-ce que le club de Gracie Barra Saint-Laurent est bon pour apprendre le BJJ? You can respond in French, question mark. Kabiri Mo. Je pense que la meilleure place à Montréal, c'est le Tristar. C'est que, moi, je t'invite. Tu viendras nous voir. On s'entraîne tout le temps, à chaque jour. T'es bienvenu. Mais si tu aimes plus faire le gui, je resterai avec les Baja. He's asking me which club he likes best in Montreal. Guys, I answered in French. That's what he asked me to do. That was a fun little... oh, my God. I got to kick him out. He's got to stop posting this question over and over again. Coach, Cyril Gane really dominated Derek Lewis. That's from King Start. Yes, and Derek Lewis has a win over Ngannou. Derek Lewis lost badly to Cyril Gane. I totally agree with it. You know, when Cyril Gane, when I saw him fight before he got to UFC, I told myself that guy's going to be a world champion. When I saw Ngannou, I said it on this channel after he lost to Miocic. I did a post-fight analysis. I said Ngannou's going to be a world champion. Now, here we are today. They're both world champions. And I'm telling you, I think it's such a close fight. It's such a difficult fight to call. I'm just going to be going for Ngannou, okay, for the reasons I stated before. However, their one opponent they have in common, Derek Lewis. It was a very different Ngannou back then. It was a very... He would knock the lights out of Derek Lewis. In my opinion, I think he beats Derek Lewis now. Cyril Gane, the cat's out of the bag with Derek Lewis. You know, a lot of guys know what he does. Earlier on, nobody really knew how he moves. Once we have more and more footage of Derek Lewis, it becomes easier and easier to beat a guy like that. And Cyril Gane's footwork is way too much for a Derek Lewis. So it's just the style is better. Not only he knew more about Derek Lewis, but the style was better. His style is better to fight a Derek Lewis. Coach, we need a documentary or at least a podcast of your martial arts life. Would be super interesting. That's from Zico. Zico. Yeah, maybe one day. You know, there's a lot of footage of me out there, days in the life and all that. So it's possible. If Francis punched the flyweights, who do you think would die? Do you think they would die? Excuse me. Yes, I would. I do, honestly. Christopher Garcia is asking. If Francis hit a flyweight, would they die? I think it would be a serious. Honestly, I would be scared. I would think that it's very possible that he kills them. So, and I say that with... I'm not saying that to be funny or to be... No, I would think it's a... If ever that fight was signed, which would never be signed... A flyweight versus Ngannou, I would protest. I would say, guys, this is a bad idea. Don't do this fight. This is, you know, this is not a sport anymore. I would give a huge speech about how bad this is. Hi, Faraz. How do you counter the kipping mount escape? Like, I like to get low and cross my legs, but the guys have been getting out with the kipping escape. Thanks. That's from 2357T. 2357T. I will usually take these kind of questions only after we've done the breakdown. So I will circle back to your question. I promise you I won't forget. You know why I won't forget? Because I was just teaching that today. I was just teaching that today, actually, how to stop the kipping escape. Okay, guys, I think we've said pretty much all we need to say about this fight, right? I think you guys have switched off to other topics here. I'm still looking at all the questions. Before we switch topic, I want to see everybody. Tell me who you think is going to win. Give me the initials of the fighter you think is going to win. FN for Francis Ngannou and CG for Cyril Gane, please. Give me that right now. Let's take a quick little vote here. I would give a slight edge to, oh wow, I would say Cyril Game. I would say you guys are voting for more Cyril Game, not by much, but more people out there think Cyril Game is gonna win. Wow, interesting. I'm going against the crowd, guys. I'm sticking with my vote. I might be terribly wrong. I mean, it's a heavyweight fight. Heavyweight fights, you absolutely never know what's going to happen. Wow, lots of Gain fans out here tonight. No, this is coffee, my friend. I'm drinking hot coffee. Okay, guys. I hear you all loud and clear. You all think Cyril Gane is going to be winning the fight. Maybe. Maybe. I think he has a chance, but I don't think he does. I don't think he pulls the trigger. I don't think he makes it happen. But very possible, guys. I'm giving it 51-49. I'm not saying it's a 60-40. I'm not saying it's 70-30. I'm not saying it's 99-1%. I think it's really 51-49. Francis eventually lands a shot. Even if he gets taken down once, twice, he ends up landing a shot that puts lights out. Gain wins 8 times out of 10. That's from Cloud 31. 80-20 for Cloud 31. I don't think so. I think it's more 50-50. Okay, guys, the time will tell. Time will tell. I could be wrong. I've been wrong in the past. I might be wrong again. Okay, guys, just a quick answer to that super chat that I got earlier. You know, how do you stop the kipping mount? Well, first thing I like to do, as soon as they put their hands on my hip, I use my hands like this and I free my hips. Okay, so as soon as I feel them put their hands on my hips, I free my hips, and then I kind of pin the wrist to the mat. Okay, I have to demonstrate it. The other thing I do when they do kip, let's say they get their hands on my hips and they start to kip and my hips are disconnecting from his hips, I close a triangle. So as they're lifting me, I close my leg in a triangle. So I'm triangling his thighs. I'm not triangling his hips. I was sitting on the hips and the mount. He starts to kip. As he lifts me, I transition to a triangle around the thighs. I'd have to demonstrate it. It's very hard to explain verbally. But I basically turn it into a triangle. I turn my mount into a triangle around the thighs. Congrats on TriStar Japan Habibi coach Firaz Zahabi. That's from AZMI. Thank you. We did open successfully at a TriStar gym in Japan. So for those of you in Japan, look for one of my students now teaching in Japan. Check it out. Hey, coach, any advice on improving nasal breathing for kickboxing / MMA? That's from Ben Bandelero. Well, I'll tell you something. When you sleep at night, make sure that you breathe only through your nose, and that you sleep with your mouth closed. This is extremely, extremely important. Most of you, when you sleep, you open your mouth. Most of you out there are mouth breathers. This is very, very bad, especially in children. Okay? If your children are mouth breathers, they actually will become less attractive. They've done a study with monkeys where they clog their nose and they force the monkeys to breathe through their mouth. That includes sleep time. Their face is not formed correctly. Why? Because when you sleep with your mouth closed, your tongue is pushing your teeth outwards, and your face, your mouth will protrude forward, giving you a more handsome look. However, many of us have allergies, etc. You know, we're living an unnatural life, and our noses, our sinuses are blocked. When you go to bed at night, your sinuses are closed, and you start breathing through your mouth, and you fall asleep like that, and you start to snore, etc. It is very important, extremely important, that you all learn to sleep with your mouth closed. Now, how do you accomplish this? Two very simple ways. One, you can buy a chin strap on Amazon that holds your chin like this. It's very light. I have one. I make my kids wear it to make sure they don't sleep with their mouth open. Or you can use never duct tape. I repeat, never duct tape because you could suffocate. Okay. Use a surgical tape. It's very easy to peel off. Some people tape their mouth closed. I personally don't. I just close my eyes, force my mouth closed, breathe through my nose, your nose will unclog, guys. No matter how much you feel your nose is clogged, wait. Your mind will unclog your nose. The brain will say, hey, the mouth is not opening, unclog the nose. It will unclog you. Now, you might feel panicky. You might feel like, I can't breathe. That's all. It's all practice. After a few weeks, you're breathing through your nose, naturally sleeping with your mouth closed. It's going to be a little bit difficult at first, but very important. Now, here's why. They say that you will become more carbon dioxide resistant. And there are a plethora of benefits, which I didn't memorize, okay, but I've gone through them. One of them is that your breath is not going to smell bad. Your mouth won't be as dry when you wake up in the morning. Your teeth won't be as, they say that it's better not to brush your teeth than to sleep with your mouth open. When you sleep with your mouth open, you let all sorts of gunk in your mouth. Okay, so of course you should brush your teeth, but sleep with your mouth closed. It's really bad for your teeth to sleep with your mouth open. Okay, there's a whole host of reasons why you should sleep with your mouth closed. One of them becoming carbon dioxide resistant. Okay, so how do you improve nasal breathing for kickboxing MMA? When you sleep at night, train yourself to sleep with your mouth closed. During the day, try to keep your mouth closed and breathe through your nose, and eventually it'll become second nature. When it becomes second nature, you'll do it more often in your kickboxing and MMA. Don't try to do it just when you're doing MMA. There's lots more going on. Okay, it's not second nature. Practice nasal breathing when you go to sleep. Again, buy a chin strap on Amazon or get surgical tape. Never use duct tape, because if you're fumbling around, you can't untape it. You'll die. Okay, so never use, never. I repeat, never use duct tape, my friends. Surgical tape, if you get stuck, you just open your mouth. It's not that powerful. Surgical tape ain't that strong, okay? QAnon sent me. That's from David Terran. Wow, QAnon is here. Wow, this channel, you know this channel is made in life when QAnon is watching me. Can short reach be an advantage in striking? That's from Goodbye. Yes, it can. You know, look at Mike Tyson. You know, in a certain range, being shorter is better. Lockdowns are deliberately meant to shut down small businesses with the intention of single banking corporation, the Federal Reserve, to conquer global market share like dictators used to do. That's from Tony R. Tony, you know, I don't subscribe to these theories per se, but I don't say that they're not true either, you know, because there are. Look, here in Quebec, and I hope this doesn't get flagged, but we just have quarantine theater. It's not really quarantine. It's such a lie. The mall is open. The metro system's open. The schools are open. People are circulating all day long, except they close small businesses. So what? You close small businesses. So what? What difference? What impact does that do? You know, one scientist said it best. He was saying that these shutdowns are just a detriment to society. He says, we know for a fact that these lockdowns are creating mental illness, domestic violence is going up, child abuse is going up, alcoholism is going up, drug addiction is going up, depression is going up. All these social ills are going up, skyrocketing. However, we don't have proof that it's slowing down corona at all. But we do have 100% proof that it's creating all these social ills. Where is the proof that lockdowns work? There is no proof that lockdown works. There are scientists on both sides. One scientist is going to write an article, look how much lockdown saved us. And other scientists are going to write, look, we have no proof of it at all. There's no hard science. And you have the world, countries around the world sending in their statistics. There's no correlation with lockdown and resistance to COVID. There is no correlation. A lot of countries that had less protocols did better resisting. Now, there are many reasons why. There are many reasons why. And maybe quarantining is one of them. But in my opinion, what I'm observing here in Quebec, it is quarantine theater. Why? Literally, the theater is open. Like, literally, you can go sit in a room with full of people, sit there, laugh, ha, 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 speak out, hang out, kid teens kissing each other, holding hands, walking around, eating from each other's popcorn. And the schools are open. My kids are all day in school. They come home. Whoever, all the kids they mingled with, whatever germs they have, they brought it back home. I go to the mall, I go to the metro, I go to the gym, I go everywhere I go. You're telling me that we're not cross-contaminating each other? Of course we are. However, our businesses are not allowed to be open. So do your life. Go ahead. Live your life like you normally do. We're telling the world we're quarantined when we're really not. But go bankrupt. That's really what they're doing. They're just bankrupting their country. You know, they close restaurants. How does the government earn taxes? Well, restaurants is a massive source of taxes. How do you build more? Look, the Quebec here, they're worried about the 400 beds. So they're worried it goes higher. I think now it's higher. Dude, with the tax money you're getting, you could have built 1,000 beds. You could have figured it out. You have resources. Guys, when you have problems in life, it's always better to have cash flow to solve your problems. When cash is flowing in, I can find a way to solve my problems. It's when the cash flow is cuts. That's when I start having problems. That's when my problems become very difficult to deal with. Cash flow is king. Any ignoramus out there knows that, okay? Except for the Prime Minister of Quebec. Unfortunately, he doesn't know that. Who is the more technical fighter, Gane or Ngannou? That's from Sample Legend. It's hard to say. You know, they have different styles. I would say in terms of variety, it would be Gane. But in terms of precision, it would be Ngannou. How much more striking power can one train for? How much more is genetic? 85, 95%. That's from Americo 96. I would say the training can give you like 30% more power. But where you start is really important. Like how much power your raw power you have. We can increase you up to 30%. You missed my super chat. Coach, your favorite Sahabi. What? Dragon Chaos. Sorry, I don't know what that means. How were you able to continue MMA full time whilst practicing to align postures shown in the Supple Leopard as well as relieve knots and tensions? Well, that's very simple, Tom Green. Tom Green is asking me, how can you pursue MMA full time and still follow the Supple Leopard program, a book written by Kelly Starrett? I do it after practice. After I finish practice, if I have any knots or pain or anything, I take care of it. Usually, a lot of times, I'll go home, I'll eat, I'll shower, I'll eat, go home, rest a bit. And then I'll work on whatever part of my body I feel needs loosening up. But I generally do it immediately after practice. Like I'll finish the last roll. Okay, I'm done today. What am I doing? I bring out the foam roller. I bring out the massage or whatever. I just take care of it right then and there. And I'm done. It's just the way I end my practices. And sometimes I feel good. I just do calisthenics or abs or something. I missed your super chat. Let me double check, sir. Okay, here we go. I missed your... Here it is. Hi, Frost. Any tips on how to get back to training full-time MMA with a bulged disc? It is impossible for me to grapple and strike without lower back pain. Yes, it is. Look, I'll tell you. Buy the Supple Leopard, the book. The book on the back, the first exercise is the most important. The one where he puts his feet up on the block, puts the peanut roller behind his back. All you need is a chair and a peanut roller. You could fix your back. Listen, I fixed thousands and thousands of, well, not thousands, countless people's backs. Like countless. I've been doing it for 20 years, fixing people's backs. This is one of the best methods I've ever come across. And the other thing is work your abs, but work your abs without using sit-ups. Okay, maybe use a plank. Look up plank exercise for abs. So fix your back with the exercise that Kelly Starrett chose in the Supple Leopard. And also do planks. Plank for abs. Work your way up to 5 minutes. You won't have back pain no more. And your bulging disc, I've had one, will be a thing of the past. You know what doesn't generate cash flow for us? Bitcoin. Ha, ha, ha. That's from Joe. Actually, Mr. Joe, you're wrong about that, sir. Unfortunately, you're incredibly wrong. It's scary how wrong you are. If you hold Bitcoin for 4 years or more, you average at least 100% gain. So if I have $100,000 of Bitcoin, in 4 years, I'll have at least, as has happened in the past, I'll have about $400,000. So if that's not a type of, it's not necessarily technically cash flow, but it's appreciating in value. And I can go and take my $100,000 or $400,000 of Bitcoin, and I could borrow USD against it and wait 4 more years, and that's going to double again. That's the Michael Saylor strategy, who's up to $7 billion of Bitcoin right now, guys. He's, I think right now, other than Satoshi, the number one holder of Bitcoin. It might not be him, actually, but I think it is him, at $7 billion. Now, look, I have other cryptos that also yield. They yield me a percentage every month. However, in my opinion, Bitcoin is still the king. Bitcoin, and I'm a big believer in Ethereum and other smart contracts, but Bitcoin and Ethereum is, in my opinion, the best. However, if you buy crypto, guys, in my opinion, buy the most trusted ones and be patient. You have to be in it for 4 years. Don't try to do a quick flip. And Joe, you're very wrong about that. You can get extremely, extremely good returns with Bitcoin. And you know what? Here's the other thing, Joe. You could take your Bitcoin, wrap it, put it on Ethereum network, and get yield on it. You can. Technically, you can, but nobody does it because, or most people won't do it. Why? Because it's so new. Bitcoin, these decentralized exchanges are not old enough for us to trust our Bitcoin with it yet. But down the line, in the future, people might just do that with their Bitcoin. As long as we trust the network and there's no bugs in the system, we're just waiting for everybody else to put their money for long enough. And then we see if there's any bugs, because bugs could always happen. And in the future, you could see people making lots of money. Not only is your Bitcoin going to go up, but you could also wrap it and put it on an Ethereum network and take a yield on it. Next one is from Raleigh. I started training in judo recently, and my coach remarked how much more people who practice BJJ would benefit from learning judo for takedowns. Views, that's from Raleigh. I agree if you're into gi training. However, I don't do much gi training anymore. I do plan on starting another gi class in TriStar again shortly. We like to do gi once in a while, but the vast majority of my training is in no gi. So I do freestyle wrestling. You know, I don't do much judo. Media does not lie. The media spreads the truth. Listen to the government and obey. That's from Lumi. Lumi is obviously being sarcastic. The media obviously lies. The government lies. Francis Legault lies. You know, I love what he says. We're not going to have public debates because, you know, the Quebecois, we keep asking, hey, we want public debate. We want you to show us why you're locking us in our homes. Give us a good reason. Don't just tell us. And he said, no, I'm not going to. I refuse public debate because I don't want to expose the Quebecois, that's us, to conspiracy theories. Because they're so dumb. We're so dumb. Quebecois are so dumb that if somebody suggests conspiracy theories, we're so lost about what's true and what's not true. And we're all going to start believing there are microchips, this is his words, not mine, in the vaccines. Okay. It's insane how dumb he is. It's really insane. It's stupidity. It's just stupidity after stupidity after stupidity. Our prime minister, I just can't stand it. They want to tell us what to do without giving us the reasons why. For me, that doesn't work. I'm going to disobey. You're going to get civil disobedience from me. Coach, your podcast changed my life. Thank you. That's from L. L, thank you, man. I'm glad to hear that it assisted you in your life. That's really good news for me. Thank you. Coach, don't speak against the V. It's haram. No, it ain't. I'm not speaking. Guys, I'm double vaccinated, by the way. FYI. I'm not against vaccines. I'm a believer in vaccines. I just don't think it should be forced on people. That's it. Simple. You want to get the vaccine, you do it because it's your benefit. Talk to your doctor. Talk to your doctor. If you trust your doctor, tell him, hey, I've been coming to you for a long time. You know about science and vaccines. What do you think about this? And go from there. Vaccine is not appropriate for everybody. Some people have different health issues or whatever, and talk to your doctor. Now, look, if people were dying and didn't want the vaccine, that's still their business. Who are you to tell them they have to take the vaccine? If this guy wants to die from corona, let him. That's his prerogative, man. Now, you're going to say, oh, the hospitals are packed. We, as a socialist country, pay our taxes, and vaccinated and non-vaccinated, you have just as much right to decide whether you're going to, and you've paid your taxes, you have the right to that medical treatment, and the government should produce more beds. That's it. Shift our tax money to produce more beds. This is what the people want. Now, here's why the people don't want the vaccine. The truth of the matter is nobody out there is denying science. They just don't trust the government. They think the government is making money, and it's a type of civil resistance, telling him, look, we don't believe, we're not convinced, and they may be wrong. I'm not saying they're correct. I'm just saying, look, because you've lied to them in the past, and we know very well the government has lied to us in the past, that now your eggs have come home to, your chickens have come home to roost. That's it. You've lied to the people in the past. The people think you're doing something nefarious. You're making money. You're trying to make money off them. You're trying to figure out a way to use this for political gain. Guys, politicians are using this for their own political gain. They're creating inflation because they're asset holders, and it makes them money. They're happy for inflation. Their home value goes up. Their property value goes up. Their stock market goes up. Everything goes up. The people who have assets are happy when it comes to inflation. poor people don't understand this. That's the problem. And this is why your relationship with the people, as a politician, I would tell myself, look, my relationship with the people must be really bad when I tell them that these doctors are telling you that this can save your life and they don't believe me. They don't believe me. They think I'm a liar. And the thing is, the hospital statistics, we know for a fact now, it's come out that a lot of the statistics were not accurate. They were labeling a guy with a broken leg comes in and he so happens to be carrying COVID, but he's not coming in for COVID. He's coming in for his broken leg. They're labeling him as a COVID patient. You have to ask yourself, why would they do that? Well, they have incentives to do that. And I'm going to leave it at that before I get flagged. But this is the true problem. People don't trust their government. They don't trust their government. Cyril will control the distance and outland Francis all day. That's from Hierarchy of Improvement. Look, you're not wrong about that. He's going to control the distance. I said he has superior footwork. He's going to move around. He's going to tag Francis, but is he going to knock Francis out? I don't know. It's not impossible. I just think that eventually Francis, well, go back and watch Francis's fight, man. He has some sneaky, out of the blue punches that land. And when they land, it's over. It's over. I just think that it's going to be not impossible. It's just such a difficult thing to walk that fine line. Let me roll with you in Montreal. That's from Roman. Roman, everybody's welcome to come and roll with me in Montreal. Okay? I like to roll with everybody who comes into the gym. Okay? So please do come in and let's have a roll, my friend. He owes money plus death penalty. I don't know where that came from. Cyril is so overrated. That's from Lumi. No, I disagree. I disagree. He's a true legitimate world champion. Coach, would you, Eddie Bravo, take you out? Be honest. Would Eddie Bravo take you out? Be honest. Oh, wow. You know, I've never rolled with him. Well, last time I got on the mats with him, he had a very, very bad back. He was coming off a very, very bad back injury, so we didn't get a chance to roll. However, I would absolutely love to roll and in a friendly way with Eddie. I really like Eddie. I think he's a great guy, brilliant human being. And not in a challengey way. Of course not. I would never challenge him. You know, I would just roll with him for fun and as friends. Coach, what is the best? And Coach Zahab, sorry, Americo says, Coach Zahabi is the best and my personal favorite. Thank you for always being curious and having passion for sharing. Well, Americo, thank you very, very much. I thought that was a question. That's why I read it out like that. But thank you. That is greatly, greatly appreciated. Salam, Coach. I'm a powerlifter and switching to MMA. What do you think? Squat and deadlift? Question mark. No, I wouldn't squat and deadlift, honestly, because you've done that so much and it could make you a little bit slower. I highly, highly recommend, highly, highly recommend you now focus solely on plyometrics. Convert your power. Actually, I'd rather call it your strength because power is strength over time. And really focus on the speed of the sport because the speed of the sport is much faster than powerlifting. Powerlifting being, for those who don't know, it's squat, bench, deadlift. You now have cultivated enough strength. Now you really need to focus on power. And when I say power, because what people don't mostly understand is powerlifting, the sport, is wrongly named. It's a bad name for the sport because power is strength over time. In powerlifting, they don't care how fast you lift the bar. They only care that you get the bar locked out. So it's a bad name for such a great sport. Power is more in Olympic lifting where they lift the bar up really quickly. How much weight did you lift? And you have to do it in a quick movement because that lift, that particular style of lift doesn't work in a slow fashion. So I would focus more on my plyometrics. You've cultivated enough strength. And then, of course, endurance. Could Wilder survive in MMA? That's from Lisa Wilson. Yeah, I think he could win. He'd definitely do good in MMA if he was well-trained, took the time to learn grappling and wrestling and staying on his feet. He could definitely knock out a lot of guys. Hey, Coach, I'm interested in teaching my girlfriend jiu-jitsu. What are the essentials I should show her first? Mr. Thierry Saint-Pierre, yes, we're waiting for you, my friend. We haven't seen you, I believe this is my student. We haven't seen you in a very long time. Start with the big three, armbar, triangle, omoplata. I expect you in the gym soon, Mr. Saint-Pierre. Armbar, triangle, omoplata, most important things. Guys, I'm going to have to put you on hold 1 second. Sorry, guys. I had to do some power parenting. That's what I call power parenting. I wonder if Gain could out-grapple Stipe. That's from Resolve. Who knows? That's tough to call. Coach, has your knowledge of philosophy ever helped you in MMA coaching? Stun dog. Yes, absolutely. You know, philosophy teaches you how to think, how to analyze things. You know, it helps to be a thinking man. It helps in every which way. It not only helps me in MMA, it helps me in every single facet of my life. Actually, I would tell you, it made my life worth living. Anything else, in my opinion, like Socrates said it best, a life unexamined is not worth living. You think it's worth living, but it's not. You must examine your life. Francis obliterated Stipe. That's from M-A-S-R-R. Look, yeah, he knocked him out, you know. Stipe's a dangerous guy. He's a very dangerous guy. And at that time, I think he had defended the title, the heavyweight title, 4 times, which I think was the longest streak. The heavyweight title is so volatile. One mistake and it slides out. So, I mean, it's not impossible that he comes back and makes a title run. He was arguably the greatest heavyweight of all time. Just because he lost to Ngannou doesn't mean he's not the best of all time. And Ngannou has to repeat what he did. Which, you know, let's see if he can. Coach Zahabi Sahabi means companion. That's from Dragon. No, it doesn't mean that's. You're talking about Sahaba or Sahabi. No, I'm Zahabi, which means golden. Gold, Zahabi, zebra, you know, like Zulu, you know, Z. So, Al Zahabi is golden. Gold. My name is Gold, not companion. Companion is Sahabi. Different. All right, guys. Carwin would smash Francis. That's from the White Mustang. Listen, guys, I've trained Carwin in the past. Okay, I've worked with him. That guy is a freak of nature. Yes, Shane Carwin is a freak of nature. They had to make specialized gloves for him. The UFC's double XL gloves do not fit that man's hand. Listen, I've seen that man's hands. It's incredible. It's not human. Those are not human hands. And when he hits the mitts, I've held mitts for him. Guys, these are not human punches. These are not punches from a human being. Shane Carwin would be incredibly interesting against Ngannou because his takedowns are really incredible. He has devastating punching power. He just doesn't have the reach Francis has. But man, does he have incredible punching power. And incredible wrestling as well. He's been wrestling his whole life. Very interesting. That would be a dream matchup. Of course, that's past our... you know, it's not here nor there. Shane Carwin, also an engineer, guys, by the way, a very well-educated man, super intelligent, super sophisticated thinking. He's a very, very accomplished human being. And I'm sure he would never come back to MMA. I think he's done with it. However, in his prime, that would be such an incredible matchup. Both of them in their prime, that would be incredible. Very good fantasy fight. Frost, am I too old to get a black belt? I'm 23. Oh, my God. That's from Obam. No, you're not too old. It takes 10 years about to get a black belt. You'll be 33 when you get your black belt. So, and if you train really, really hard, maybe you finish, you get it in 8 or 9. But you should definitely pursue it. If you have a passion for jiu-jitsu, don't let age get in your way. Definitely pursue it. Absolutely. Do you train with the gi? That's from Amir. I do train with the gi. I haven't trained with the gi in years, but I do plan on training with the gi again once these lockdowns are on. We're going to start a gi class. Right now, Jiu-Jitsu at TriStar is exclusively no gi. We're giving belts without the gi. This is a new trend. And the vast majority of people out there want to do Jiu-Jitsu with no gi. But I do think I'm going to bring it back just because there are some benefits to it. But it's going to be a once in a week type thing. You know, the vast majority of the program at TriStar is going to stay no gi. And I think we have to differentiate, you know, because for me, no gi is more about fighting, real fighting. And gi is more of a sport. It's more of a sport aspect of jiu-jitsu. Okay, guys, I think I'm going to end it now. We're at hour in. We've made the threshold. Thank you so much for another great podcast. I'm going to give one more question a go here. Something fun, something easy to respond back to. Something cool. Carwin is just a lesser Francis. I don't think that's true. I think Carwin had his own style. Okay. NASA and space are fake, and we live in the firmament. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that information. Do you think Solana is there to stay? That's from Major Alan. Yeah, they just had a recent hack. I think they are definitely here to stay. There's a huge team behind them, lots of money behind them. I don't think they're going anywhere. I think Solana is gonna have a similar run to Ethereum. It's going to be here for many, many years to come. I would be shocked. Look, it's not impossible, but I would be shocked if Solana goes to zero. I'd be shocked. Really shocked. I think this is still the beginning. It's still super early. I remember there was a time where I was buying Ether at like $300 and people were freaking out. Oh, no, you're overpaying. You know, because I got in at $150. Oh, you're overpaying. I bought it at $500. Oh, you're overpaying. I bought it at $1,000. You're overpaying. Look at the price today. It's still over 3,000. And we're here. We're in a market crash. It's still above 3,000. I think 2022, and hold me to this, I think Ethereum is easily going to get up to 6,000, which already hit 6,000 in the past. It's going to easily get back to 6,000, and from there, it's going to get to 10,000. I think it's going to easily go back to 6, and it's going to fluctuate between 6 and 10 for 2022. Or it's going to get close to 10, but it's easily going to get back to 6 in 2022. Coach, how will you celebrate Premier Legault's birthday? That's from Alex McDonald. Should I put a picture of his face on my punching bag in the gym and just beat the hell out of it and just post it on the internet? You know, that would be fun. No, I'm not celebrating that man's birthday. I don't think he's really protecting lives. I think he's just kind of pushing his political career forward. You know, they're using it to print money, all these other things, horrible things that they're doing. But I'm not a big lover of Mr. Legault's candidacy. Okay, guys, here we have a good one here. What do you think about Ethereum killers? Avalanche, Solana, Phantom. That's from Overwatch. Guys, Ethereum is the first smart contract ever to be released. Now there's these Ethereum killers, the next one. I didn't buy any Phantom yet, okay? I haven't bought any Phantom, but I bought a ton of Avalanche. I bought a ton of Avalanche when it was at $66. I wait for these smart contracts to kind of prove themselves, and then I buy. Because I believe that it's still the beginning, but they have to prove themselves. And Avalanche is one of those. They went up to at one point like $160, and now it's back down. It's like a little under $100, but I think it's gonna go. It's gonna get back to where it was in 2022 very easily. Now's the time to buy. I didn't buy Phantom just because I can't buy them all. You know, I think Phantom is another great project. It's such a, you know, a lot of potential. I cannot buy them all, but I did definitely go big into Avalanche, and I think that. I know from reading up on it, a lot of people say the user experience is great, et cetera, has other benefits. I think smart contracts are the future. There are things we're going to do with smart contracts we haven't even thought of today. Like, think about cell phones. Cell phones, nobody thought that cell phones was going to lead to a boom in texting. Everybody texts. When texting came out, I thought it was the dumbest thing. Why would I text you? I'll just call you. But back then, there wasn't so many reasons to call somebody, you know? And then, of course, social media hit. And who knew that we're going to use our cell phones for social media? That was insane. Nobody saw that coming. When we had cell phones coming out on the market, a lot of people were saying, even if the cell phone was smaller, because at first it was huge, the cell phone, it cost a lot of money. Even if it was smaller and cheaper, I don't want to have a cell on me all day long. That was a very common sentiment. I don't want to carry a phone with me. I don't want you to be able to reach me. When I get home, that's when I take a phone call. Dude, try to run a business today without a cell phone. You wouldn't be able to. It became necessary, not a luxury. No, it's necessary now to run a business. There is zero entrepreneurs out there. There are zero people out there with a cell phone in the modern world. Okay, in the modern world. I think the same thing is going to be true of smart contract. Things like texting and what texting and social media is to the cell phone. What, you know, we used to have cameras. Guys, remember we used to go to the fair, or we would go to the zoo, we'd bring a camera. Well, nobody brings a camera anymore. Your phone is the camera. Your phone, you use your cell phone, you whip out the cell phone, you take a picture. The best phone, I remember they used to say, oh, the best camera is the one you have on you. Oh, use your camera phone, use your camera. Everybody uses their camera phone. Who would have thought in the future that cameras would become obsolete? They'll be part of the phone. Nobody thought these things. And I think how cell phones changed technology, smart contracts are going to change technology. How? I'm not sure yet. We're seeing it in video games. It's changing video games because now you can actually earn and own things in a video game. You literally own it as property. So I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. Things are coming down the way that have to do with smart contracts. People are figuring out ways. You can buy and you can, sorry, you can lend and borrow money with smart contracts. You're going to make banks more and more obsolete. We could, of course, we could exchange money, but even further than that, leveraging money, earning money online with smart contracts. This is the thing. Things are going to develop in so many ways we can't even possibly imagine. We haven't connected the dots. It's just that blockchain is not going away and smart contracts are superior. They're a superior technology. What they're going to be there for, nobody's sure yet, even though we have already a lot of a great ecosystem on Ethereum. We do have a great ecosystem. There's lots you can do. But in my opinion, there's lots more that's coming down the way. Okay, guys, with that said, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I had fun as usual. I hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as I did. If you did, please like, share, and comment. And I will see you all in the next episode. Thank you.